I never know how to start this. I can't ever just go straight into it. So I always add some bullshit just like that. Hey guys, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR. We're back yet again for another Drunken Dangerous. Were you expecting this? You better fucking have. I probably titled this Drunken Dangerous. If you weren't surprised, why the hell did you click on this? What are you doing? And I mean, if you aren't surprised and you did it on purpose, why the hell did you click on this? What are you doing? Blame it on the quarantine, you guys. Nobody has anything better to do. We have nowhere else to go. Might as well join me in my insanity. Won't you come in, please, and make yourself home? Let the worms worm their way into your synapses and have it just impossible to leave. And you can never leave. You're stuck now. Listening to me, Dangerous ASMR. And that, my friends, is how I keep most of my patrons. That and people forget they were patrons. And they forget to unsubscribe. I'm joking. This is fantastic content. Please don't leave. You can't. We're all stuck indoors. You remember me saying that. Okay, and so today, because we're all indoors and because I am so benevolent, yes, that is why I'm doing this. I'm reading some more fantastic Grimm's fairy tales for what is a hideous reality in the year 2020. Join me for this other reality, shall you? Shall we? And let's see if life in Grimm's fairy tale world is better or worse than reality now. I mean, there's a lot of unicorn death and murders, but let's see. Maybe this next story will be better than all those children slaughtering people. It could be better than that. Let's find out. This next story is The Three Ravens. Once upon a time, there was a mother who had three little sons who were playing cards one day next to the church. And when the sermon was finished, their mother returned home and saw what they had been doing. So she cursed her godless children, and they were immediately turned into three coal black ravens and flew away. So the mom went to church, came outside of the church, saw her godless heathen bastard sons playing cards, and cursed them, and upon which they turned into ravens. I'm not so sure she's going to a church where they worship God, considering this woman's actions. Doesn't exactly sound like she's with the good and holy, but she is certainly a very judgmental bitch. Okay, that's some scary fucking shit. Let's go on. The three brothers, however, had a little sister who loved them with all her heart, and she grieved so much about their banishment that she no longer had any peace of mind and finally set out to look for them. The only thing that she took with her for the long, long journey was a little stool on which she rested when she became too tired. And she ate nothing the entire time but wild apples and pears. Unfortunately, she couldn't find three ravens. I mean, holy shit, though, like, there's a lot of ravens in the world. I'm not going to look for all of them. Like, I love my sibling, my brother, I love him, but I'm not doing that. Like, maybe my love is selfish. But I'm not trying to traverse the globe looking for three ravens somehow. Like, if they're my brothers, they should be able to find me, right? They should be able to find me, their sister, way easier than I can find three random-ass birds. And if my brother doesn't come back to find me, then that asshole clearly didn't want to. Because you're a fucking bird that knows me. Like, I'm not gonna know you for shit. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a selfish human. I don't distinguish ravens that much. That's so raven. I just had to say it. Okay, let's see. Unfortunately, she couldn't find the three ravens because she's just like me. She doesn't know what the hell they look like. But one time, when they had flown over her head, one of them had dropped a ring. And when she picked it up, she recognized it as the ring that she had given to her youngest brother one time as a present. And then why didn't they fucking stop? They just kept flying? The sister continued her journey? Why the fuck did did they keep flying away? She would have known that. Were they embarrassed to be ravens? I'm confused. The sister continued her journey, and she went so far, so very far, until she came to the end of the world and went to the sun, which was, however, much too hot, and ate small children. I mean, I'm pretty sure if any of us tried to go to the sun, it would eat all of us, and by that I mean incinerate us. It's not just small children, but apparently this woman is visiting the sun. I mean, this is very different than the year 2020. In one case, you can visit the sun, which means, you know, we're all likely superhuman. But in the other case, the sun eats small children, which that just sounds like a whole lot of problems I don't want to deal with personally. You know, like telling your kids, stay away from the sun in the sky, it will eat you. Kids are dumb. Yeah, I know, like, if I had a kid, they'd fucking run straight to that sun and get eaten. It would be very depressing. Okay. She went to the sun, ate kids. And after that, she went to the moon, which was, however, much too cold and also mean. Okay, never mind, I don't want to live here. And when it saw her, it said, I smell human flesh. I'm not joking. That's what it fucking says. I don't want this world. I take it back. I don't want a cannibal sun and moon in the sky. No. No. 2020 is shit as this fucking, like, put it on a fucking shirt. 2020, at least the sun and moon don't eat people. Make people think you're batshit crazy, right? Put it on Facebook. Be like, thank you, President Trump. Because of you, the sun and moon aren't eating people. If you don't learn a history, you're doomed to repeat it. I will not feed this on my children. Oh, that's a real good way to shut down a conversation at Thanksgiving, let me fucking tell you. Or if you're too long in quarantine and you're quarantined with family, you don't want them to talk to you anymore, just start talking about the sun and the moon and what they eat. They definitely eat human flesh. That's a conversation starter and ender at the same time. Okay, let's see. So the maiden left there quickly and went to the stars, which were good to her. And each one sat, but so apparently little stars are good, but suns are bad. The sun is bad. Like, it's a really big star, so it's bad. Is it just the smaller stars that are bad, or are the other also larger than the sun stars bad? I'm very confused. Yeah, right. So the stars are nice. Hold on, let me see. Wait, I totally didn't say that. I'm sorry, like, totally got lost. Oh, which were good to her. And each one sat on a little stool. I got so lost for a second. I was off in the stars, you guys. And the morning star stood up and gave her a gemmy leg to help her open the gate. A gemmy leg? Yes, they fucking gave her a Monty Python gemmy leg. It says gemmy leg. G-A-M-M-Y leg. It opens the gate. I'm so confused. It gave her a gemmy leg. What the fuck is this shit? Okay, whatever. Fucking mad acid trip is this shit. Holy fuck, I'm not high enough for this goddamn story. Okay, it's a different... This is an alternate universe, 2020, where the morning star stood up and gave her a gemmy leg to help her open the gate to the glass mountain. If you don't have this little leg, you won't be able to climb the glass mountain. I need to give it the appropriate accent. If you don't have this little leg, it's on the glass mountain you'll find your brothers. So the sister took the gammy leg. They need to call this fairy tale. Gammy leg. Yes, pronounced like that. It must be pronounced like that. Wrapped it in some cloth and continued her journey until she came to the glass mountain. However, the gate was closed, and just as she wanted to take the gemmy leg from the cloth, she discovered she had lost it along the way. How do you lose a gemmy leg? How do you do it? That must be really little leg, like a toothpick leg. It's not a leg. Is it actually just a key and you call it a gemmy leg for no reason? She was like, the gemmy leg. From the cloth, she discovered that she lost it along the way. Since she didn't know what to do, she took a knife, sliced off her pinky. Okay, that gemmy leg is the size of a pinky. A fucking pinky. A pinky. Stuck it into the lock and opened the gate. Why did she need to slice it off? How was she putting it in? Then it required her to cut her pinky off. She's a masochist. She's punishing herself for losing the gummy leg. I mean, the Morningstar gave it to you, you loser. How do you fucking lose that shit? Literal loser, because she lost the gummy leg. She opened the gate. Then a little dwarf came toward her and said,
"My child, what are you looking for here?"
"I'm looking for my brothers, the three ravens."
"The Lord Ravens are not at home,"
said the little dwarf.
"If you want to wait, then come in."
And the little dwarf brought three little plates and three little mugs. I mean, he really gotta, like, rub his size in his fucking face. Can't you just call him plates and mugs? Like, we fucking get it. He's small. God damn. And the sister ate a bit from each little plate and drank a sip from each mug. Oh, finally, it's a normal mug, fucking assholes. And she let the little ring fall into the last mug. All of a sudden, a whizzing and buzzing could be heard in the air.
"The Lord Ravens are flying back home,"
said the little dwarf. And the ravens began to speak, one after the other.
"Who was eaten from my little plate? Who has drunk from my little mug? Raven noise!"
As a third raven, however, came to his little mug, he found the ring and saw clearly that their little sister had arrived. They recognized her because of the ring, and they were all saved and transformed and were happy to go home. How were they saved and transformed? Why did that save them? Why did they get saved? They gave her the ring. I'm very confused how they transformed. That's some bullshit fucking tacked on ending. 0 stars. Fail. They did not transform. They were ravens forever. Stupid fucking ravens. Terrible story. The only thing that made it better was the gummy leg, which was the weirdest shit ever. The size of a pinky? That's not even a leg. That's a nub. Don't call your nub a leg, okay? If that's the case, and you watch all these guys saying, "How big is my dick?" It's about leg-sized. A gummy leg size. It's not the size of the gemmy leg that counts. It's how you use it. Like, to unlock a fucking door, as if that made sense. Quick, cut off your pinky. That's what I'd do if I ever get locked out of the house. I cut off my fucking pinky and try to jam it in the keyhole. Like, damn it, I shouldn't have lost that gemmy leg. I knew this wouldn't work. Okay, let's read another fantastic story. I'm in the mood. Are you? Yes, you are. Let's go. Little Red Cap. Once upon a time, there was a sweet little maiden. Whoever laid eyes upon her couldn't help but love her. But it was her grandmother who could never give the child enough. One day she made her a present, a small red velvet cap. And since it was so becoming and the maiden always wanted to wear it, people only called her Little Red Cap. That's fucking horrible. I would fucking hate that shit. Could you imagine? At what point is it kindness or is it mockery? You know, like the fucking movie Polaroid, the fucking abortion of a movie was terrible. And one of the characters, she always wore this like disgusting puce colored like scarf to cover up this like tiny scar in her fucking neck. But she wore this thing constantly. Like, what the fuck? I wouldn't notice the scar. I noticed this ugly ass scarf. And everyone's calling her Scarf Girl. And it was not portrayed as an act of kindness to be calling this ugly scarf wearing girl Scarf Girl. So I'm kind of feeling like Little Red Cap really doesn't want to be called Little Red Cap. Like, that's some offensive shit, man. Maybe she could only afford one cap. It was when her grandma made her, you know what I mean? So, like, that's some economic prejudice, and I'm not here for that. I mean, so I kind of wish I had her name, because this feels, like, fucked up to be calling her Little Red Cap. I feel like I'm bullying her through the story. One day, her mother said to her, "Come, Little Red Cap, take this, like, their mom is doing it, bitch. Bitch. Fuck you, cunt. Oh my god. Like, fucking bitch. Oh my god. I mean, fuck. Trying to bully her to, like, change her fucking hat. It'd be like, if you wear, like, a white shirt a lot, and your mom's like, come on, white shirt. Like, what the fuck is your fucking problem, asshole? Don't call me out like that, you dick. You might as well just call me, you know, Lady Pajama Pants. That's what I'm wearing all day. But fuck you. Don't you fucking judge me. Little Red Cap's comfortable as fuck.
Come, Little Red Cap, take this piece of cake and bottle of wine and bring them to your grandmother. Maybe she'll sew you another fucking cap. She's sick and weak, and this will strengthen her. Be nice and good and greet her for me. Go directly there and don't stray from the path.
It's like Little Red Riding Hood, except it's worse because it's a cap, which was fucking weird. Weird.
Go directly there and don't stray from the path, otherwise you'll fall and break the glass, and your grandmother will get nothing.
I mean, she'd still get a piece of cake, right? I mean, if it's soaked in wine, like, fucking two for one. Cake, wine, smoothie. Blend that shit up with some ice cream. There, you got a milkshake. Delicious. Fucking think outside the box, Mom. Right? Wine, cake, and, like, vanilla ice cream? That'd be a bomb-ass fucking smoothie. Tell me you wouldn't. You're lying. Shut up. Okay. Little Red Cap promised to obey her mother.
Well, the grandmother lived out in the forest, half an hour from the village, and as soon as Little Red Cap entered the forest, she encountered the wolf. However, Little Red Cap didn't know what a wicked sort of an animal he was and was not afraid of him.
Good day, Little Red Cap,
he said. Thank you kindly, wolf.
Where are you going so early, Little Red Cap?
To grandmother's.
What are you carrying under your apron?
And it's like food porn, just like right there.
Cake and wine. My grandmother's sick and weak, and yesterday we baked this cake so it will help her get well.
Where does your grandmother live, Little Red Cap?
The hell, you fucking nosy-ass bastard.
About a quarter of an hour from here in the forest.
It's a good thing she talks like this because she's clearly not all there.
Her house is under the three big oak trees. You can tell it by the hazel bushes.
Said little red cap, little reed, cat red cap. And the wolf thought to himself,
what a juicy morsel she'll be for me. Now, how am I going to catch her?
He thinks like that too, like his internal voice and external voice identical. I don't know why. It's just how wolves are. Wolf lore in Little Red Cap world. And then he said,
listen, Little Red Cap, haven't you seen the...
That's hurting my voice. He's got a better voice now. Listen, Little Red Cap. He's just like... Sorry, it's something in my throat. Listen, Little Red Cap, let me get some water here. Or is it...
Hold on, let me get some water.
Oh, great. I actually swallowed it the wrong way. This is how I die. I'm not dying that way. I'm not going out like Little Red Cap. Wait, that's spoilers. Is that even true? Little Red Cap was suicide. They said dry drowning, but she had a terrible fear of water. She wouldn't touch it. Oh, it was clearly planted on the next CSI. Little Red Cap. They called her Little Red Cap. She always hated that name. All right, let's see. Oh, yeah.
Listen, Little Red Cap.
excuse me. Haven't you seen the beautiful flowers growing in the forest? Why don't you look around? I believe you haven't even noticed how lovely the birds are singing. You march along as if you were going straight to school in the village, and yet it's so delightful out here in the woods. Don't believe him, Little Red Cap. Little Red Cap looked around and saw that the sun had broken through the trees, and that the woods were full of beautiful flowers. So she thought to herself,
If I bring Grandmother a bunch of flowers, she'd certainly like that. It's still early, and I'll arrive on time.
So she plunged into the woods. Wait, she plunged into the woods to look for flowers? I mean, she could already see that there were flowers on the perimeter of the woods. Of course, she fucking plunged into the woods, just like those idiot protagonists, I say in fucking air quotes, obviously, because it's bullshit on the fucking bullshit-ass human centipede, which makes me irrationally angry how fucking stupid they were. Just like them, plunged straight into the woods. She's gonna die. And if she doesn't, she deserves to. That's a little harsh. I don't care. It's 2020. The sun and moon eat people now. Where was I? So she plunged into the woods to look for flowers. And each time she plucked one, she thought she saw another even prettier flower and ran after it. Oh, you poor simple girl. Going deeper and deeper into the forest. Ooh, a piece of candy. But the wolf went straight to the grandmother's house and knocked at the door. Who's there? I guess that's the wolf's voice still.
Little Red Cap, I've brought you some cake and wine. Open up.
Just, lift the hatch, the grandmother called. I'm too weak and
can't get up.
He's really trying his hardest then. The wolf lifted the latch and the door sprang open. Then he went straight to the grandmother's bed and gobbled her up. Next, he took her clothes. What the fuck is going on? Wait a minute, so he's pretending... Okay, I fucked this whole shit up. Let's rewind this shit, because I got way confused. Sorry, these plots are so convoluted when you're dry drowning in your closet. Sorry. The grandmother is going to answer the door, not the wolf. The grandmother's still alive. But, I mean, I guess the grandmother could just sound like the wolf. And the wolf is excellent at emulating Little Red Cap, so let's just go with that, because I don't want to reread the whole thing. Because I'm lazy. The wolf lifted the latch and the door sprang open. Then he went straight to Grandmother's bed and gobbled her up. Next, he took her clothes, put them on along with her nightcap, lay down in her bed, and drew the curtains. I like to think he literally drew them. He was artistic, very artistic man. Meanwhile, Little Red Cap had been running around and looking for flowers, and only when she had as many as she could carry did she continue on the way to her grandmother, that simple child. She was puzzled when she found the door open, and as she entered the room, it seemed so strange inside that she thought, "Oh my God, how frightened I feel today, and usually I like to be at grandmother's." Then she went to the bed and drew back the curtains. There lay her grandmother with her cap pulled down over her face, giving her a strange appearance.
"Oh, grandmother, what big ears you have."
"The better to hear you with."
"Oh, grandmother, what big eyes you have."
"The better to see you with."
"Oh, grandmother, what big hands you have."
"The better to grab you with, Hong Kong."
"Oh, grandmother, what a terribly big mouth you have."
"The better to eat you with." No sooner did the wolf say that than he jumped out of bed and gobbled up poor Little Red Cap. After the wolf had the fat chunks in his body, that's fucking gross way to describe the person he just killed. The fat chunks? Fucking nasty. Do I have to picture chunks of this person in his body? That's pretty disgusting. The fat chunks in his body, he lay down in bed again, fell asleep, and began to snore very loudly. The huntsman happened to be passing by the house and thought to himself, "The way the old woman's snoring, you'd better see if something's wrong." "Come on, you asshole. You were going to steal from her. Don't fucking lie." "The way the old woman's snoring, yeah. Maybe she's got sleep apnea. Better wake her up before she dies." Just let her go, man. Just let her go. We don't have enough ventilators as it is. I'm joking. He went into the room, and when he came to the bed, he saw the wolf lying in it. He had been searching for a wolf a long time. Oh, for the wolf, not just any wolf. The wolf, a long time, and thought that the beast had certainly eaten the grandmother.
"Perhaps she can still be saved," he said to himself. "I won't shoot."
So he took some scissors and cut open the wolf's belly. After he made a couple of cuts, he saw the little red cap shining forth. And after he made a few more cuts, the girl jumped out and exclaimed, "Wait, what about these fat chunks?" By fat chunks, does he mean he literally swallowed them whole? That's not a chunk then, you fucking liar. It's like chunks of beef and they put a whole cow in your stew. That's not chunks, you ass. Chunks, fucking liar. So the girl jumped out and exclaimed, "Oh, how frightened I was. It was so dark in the wolf's body." Fucking idiot. Soon the grandmother emerged alive. Wow, he was right. That's impressive. Little Red Cap quickly fetched some large, heavy stones, and they filled the wolf's body with them. The wolf is the heaviest sleeper. The heaviest sleeper. Holy shit, he's got drug problems. Something's going on. He's the one that should be checked on. Maybe the snoring was a problem. Maybe the guy was right. He's indicative of some kind of sleep problem because he's not waking up. I feel like I'd wake up for that. I don't want to test that theory, but it seems logical to me. When he awoke and tried to run away, the stones were so heavy that he fell at once and died. That's, pretty fucking dark. All three were delighted, those macabre motherfuckers. The huntsman skinned the fur from the wolf. Aw, too bad they didn't do it while he was alive. Torture him some more, why don't you? The grandmother ate the cake and drank the wine that Little Red Cap had brought. And Little Red Cap thought to herself, "Never again will you stray from the path by yourself and go into the forest when your mother has forbidden it." Oh my god, fucking goody two-shoes, bitch. Although, to be fair, by mother, did she mean, like, caretaker? Because I can't imagine her being able to live on her own. It's also been told that Little Red Cap returned to her grandmother one day to bring some baked goods. Another wolf spoke to her and tried to entice her to leave the path, but this time Little Red Cap was on her guard. She went straight ahead and told her grandmother that she had seen the wolf, that he had wished her a good day, but that he had had such a mean look in his eyes that he would have eaten me if we hadn't been on the open road. Come. Now the grandmother's grandma voice, because he said so. It happened when she went through the wolf's intestine. It was weird. He saved her out of the butt. I didn't say that part earlier, but you should know the truth. Come, said the grandmother. We'll lock the door so he can't get in. Soon after, the wolf knocked and cried out, "Open up, Grandmother. It's Little Red Cap, and I've brought you some baked goods." But they kept quiet and didn't open the door. So the wicked wolf circled the house several times and finally jumped on top of the roof. He wanted to wait till evening when Little Red Cap would go home. He intended to sneak after her and eat her up in the darkness. But the grandmother realized what he had in mind. In front of the house was a big stone trough, and she said to the child, "Fetch the bucket, Little Red Cap. I cooked sausages yesterday. Get the water they were boiled in and pour it into the trough." Little Red Cap kept carrying the water until she filled the big, big trough. I like that it got two bags, the big, big trough. Then the smell of sausages reached the nose of the wolf. He sniffed and looked down. Finally, he stretched his neck so far that he could no longer keep his balance on the roof. He began to slip from the roof and fell right into the big trough and drowned. Wait, was this the big trough or the big, big trough? I don't know. Then Little Red Cap went happily and safely to her home. Wow, these people are good with death. And we have one more short story to read, and then I will call it a day. This is Death and the Goose Boy. Death and the Goose Boy. It sounds like a sitcom. It's Death and the Goose Boy. I want them to, like, solve crimes together. It's fucking stupid. It'd be a horrible show. The fucking pilot would come out. People would be, like, committing suicide for the fact they'd ever greenlit this awful program. The most deaths ever caused by a show. It's Death and the Goose Boy. So fucking stupid. Ugh. All right. Death and the Goose Boy. They're wacky partners in crime. It's Death and the Goose Boy. Oh, forgive me. Ah, poor Goose Boy. Poor Goose Boy. When walking along the bank of a large, turbulent river while looking after a flock of white geese, When he saw death come toward him across the water, the boy asked him where he'd come from and where he intended to go. Death answered that he had come from the water and wanted to leave the world. The poor goose boy asked Death once more how one could actually leave the world. That sounds like he's asking for suicide advice from Death. Whew, the poor goose boy, she just says, go on spring break. The rest will take care of itself. Fucking asshole. The poor goose boy asked Death once more how he could actually leave the world. Death said that one must go across the river into the new world to lay on the other side. The goose boy said he was tired of this life and asked Death to take him across the water. The bastard suicidal, I knew it. Death said it was not time yet, for there were still things Death had to do. You think it'd be things that the goose boy had to do, but Death's like, bitch, I'm too busy to take your soul. I don't give a fuck about natural order. I'm fucking busy. I'm not your goddamn errand boy. I'm Death. You're just a poor goose boy. You know, like, no one cares about you. Death's busy, bitch. He gotta schedule you in. Not far from there lived a greedy man who at night kept... Oh, so they lived near the White House. Who at night kept trying to gather together more and more money and possessions. Death led him to the large river and pushed him in. Well, fuck Death. You've done a bad job. There's a lot of people you could have been getting before the greedy dude. That's the shit. I mean, to be fair, he's kind of got his, like, priorities straight. At least the greedy asshole dies first. Or maybe it was just his time. And Death was like... No, you're not first on the list. Like, shit's gotta happen, dude. Okay, so the greedy guy, he died. He couldn't swim. Sank to the bottom, and drowned. The cats and dogs that ran after him were also drowned. That's fucked. His cats and dogs? How many cats and dogs did the greedy man have? Were he also hoarding cats and dogs? I mean, he couldn't have been that bad a guy if, like, his cats and dogs literally went to their death to try and save him. That's some tragic shit. Maybe he was greedy because he was trying to replace the love that he didn't have from people in his life, right? So that's why he had so many cats and dogs. So he hoarded possessions because he was traumatized by his past, so he pushed people away, so... He felt lonely, so he had lots of cats and dogs, and he felt empty, so he was trying to acquire possessions when what he really needed was therapy, and Death went and killed him. Way to be one-sided and narrow-minded, Death. Good fucking job. I say to the fictional Death, not taunting actual Death. Not going outside. A few days later, Death returned to the goose boy and found him singing cheerfully.
Do you want to come with me now?
He asked. The goose boy went willingly. Oh, shit, he apparently wasn't that happy. And crossed the river with his white geese, which were all turned into white sheep. Interesting. But after geese die, they turn to sheep. Now we know. The goose sheep afterlife. The goose boy looked at the beautiful country and heard that the shepherds of places like that became kings. And as he was looking around, the arch-shepherds, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, came toward him, put a royal crown on his head, and led him to the castle of shepherds where he can still be found. It was a Jesus-y story. It could have been way better. It's terrible. Now I know this show would only be on, like, what's that religious channel? Whichever one I don't watch. Anyway, so I guess we end on Death and the Goose Boy. Believe in Jesus or go to hell. There, that's what their song would be. All right, so that is it for today's Drunk and Dangerous. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. I actually had a really, really good time. And, yeah, I hope to see you guys back again next week. Stay inside, stay safe, socially distance, and please be healthy and wash your hands because, you know, I actually do care about you. I swear to God, I'm not saying this like everybody else says it, and everybody says they're lying when they say it, but I actually mean it. Wait, that's what a liar would say. You know what? I'm not going to try. You just don't believe me. Go ahead. Don't. I don't care. Go ahead. Be like all the other goose boys. Like 2020's fuck boy. Like, I want to date somebody, but all I attract are goose boys. And so when they have money, they're like, look at this down, baby. Ah.
Instead of making it rain, you, like, put the down on the ground. What? No? Is that good? I don't know. It's terrible. It's fucking awful. I don't care. 2020 is awful. Everything that stands for should just be bad, right? No, that's not how I want to end this. Okay, except this and our lives will be fantastic. Hooray! Okay. That really is it before I put my foot farther into my mouth, and then I can't do next week's Drunk and Dangerous. Even if that's what you might prefer, that's not what you're getting. So I will talk to you guys next week, and I love you, I'm having a stroke. I'll talk to you later. Bye.